Tai de Tere Meister Chofe Kislev Tafshin Ein Zain Reb Zvi Silva.
As we know, Chanukah falls every year in these parshas of Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash. There must be some connection between Chanukah and the whole story of Mechiras Yosef, which is these parshas, the selling of Yosef, Yosef Mitzrayim, and Yosef revealing himself. There must be some connection between the two. Nothing happens for nothing. The Gemara Shabbos tells us that Ne'er Chanukah, if you put the menorah higher than 20 amos, which is roughly 10 meters or something, not very high, somebody was fifth floor up and onwards, lo yotzo, is not yotzo, unless he's got family and he shows it for the family. But we're talking here inside the street, it's too high, and Ne'er Chanukah higher than 20 amos is no good. And the Gemara straight away carries on then and tells us the famous Chazal that Haboy Reik Ein Bemaim, when Yosef was thrown into the pit last week, yesterday's parsha, the pit was empty from water, but Nechoshim Vakrabim Yeshboy. And again, we see there's some connection between Ne'er Chanukah, because the Gemara within two lines talks about Ne'er Chanukah 120, and also we talk about Ne'er Chanukah, and suddenly the Gemara throws in this Vahaboy Reik Ein Bemaim, and then the Gemara goes back to Ne'er Chanukah. Okay, it's the same Mandama saying it, but many Darshanim seeing this Gemara, there must be some connection between Ne'er Chanukah and Mechiras Yosef. Thirdly, and then we'll move on to the answer, possible answer. Thirdly, the Medrash tells us, this is a Medrash which we have not found today, but the Chasam Seif in his Droshes brings this Medrash a number of times, and he says a number of explanations. This Medrash, we don't have this Medrash, but it wouldn't be the first Medrash that we don't have. Many Medrashim got lost over time. The Chasam Seif himself is a good Mekor. And the Chasam Seif brings the following Medrash. The Pasuk says, Hadudoim nosnu reach. The flowers gave off a good smell. The Alpesachenu, and on our doors, entrances, Kol Megodim, all the sweet things. And the Medrash says, Dudoim refers to Reuven, who got hold of these flowers, and then was the whole story where he gave them to his mother, and Rochel wanted them. So that's referring to Reuven. And the Alpesachenu, Kol Megodim, and on our doors, on our entrances, all the good things, that refers to Chanukah, by the doors, which is lit by the door. So again, some connection between Reuven and Chanukah. Okay, so I've heard once from a Choshvi that it's all a possible explanation. Whether the explanation is the only possible explanation, I don't know, but the Yisoid is the Hakdamas which lead to that explanation are definitely true and definitely insightful into the soul story of Mechiras Yosef. So let's go through a bit Mechiras Yosef and then we'll come back to this point. We start with a question about Mechiras Yosef. We find in 2 weeks' time in Parshas Vayigash that when Yosef finally reveals himself and he meets his brothers, he tells them who he is, he hugs Binyamin, he falls onto Binyamin's neck, Vayipel al Tzavorov, and they both cry. And Chazal Medayek, the Loshen, that by when Yosef falls on Binyamin, it says Loshen Rabim, he fell on his throat, so to speak, and Binyamin falls on his throat. So there's some plural loshen by Binyamin and some yochid loshen by Yosef. Rashi says they were crying about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. They were crying about the future Churban Beis Hamikdash. Yosef saw ahead that the Beis Hamikdash, which will be built in Binyamin's land, in Binyamin's part, will be chalved twice. He says loshen Rabim. And Binyamin saw that Mishkan Shiloh, which was before the Beis Hamikdash, which will be built in Yosef's Chelik, will also be destroyed, which is one Mishkan, so he cried there. And the obvious question is that it's a very special cry to cry in the Beis Hamikdash, but why now? What's the connection when they meet, they finally meet after 22 years, there's two brothers, the full brothers, Yosef and Binyamin, and they're crying now about the Beis Hamikdash. What's the connection now to whom Beis Hamikdash? To answer that, there is a Yisoid which many Meforshim say, but I'll read out here, Shtikl Balaturim. The Balaturim in yesterday's Parsha Vayeshev says that because of the Aveir of Mechiras Yosef, which we'd like to discuss a bit as we go along. Because of that, the Beis Hamikdash eventually got destroyed. The Balatum of Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Yud Ches. Because of this chet, nisgalgelu hagolios, the golios happened, v'nisnakvu raglim, and they had to go, you know, the legs carried them into golios. Because of this aveira, which is very easy to understand, because we know the Chum Beis Hamikdash was for sinas chinam, and here there was some element of sinna here between the brothers and Yosef. The Chidor writes that the Beis Hamikdash indeed was built in Binyamin's chelik, as we just saw. Sinas chinam, yeah, very straightforward. And the Chidor says the Beis Hamikdash was built in Binyamin's chelik because he was the only one who was not there by Mechias Yosef. Reuven had a part in it. Binyamin was absolutely abstained from it, so the Beis Hamikdash was built in his part. So we already see some connection here. The aveir of selling Yosef that caused the Chum Beis Hamikdash.
Doesn't matter the first Beis Hamikdash.
Instinct. The Balatum says both. He's saying the Sinas Chinam point. So the Balatum doesn't mention the Sinas Chinam point. We find in this week's parsha, Miketz Vayigash, Meni Vayigash, that when Yosef meets his brothers, meaning when he recognizes them before they recognize him, this week's parsha, he did very, very interesting things. And at first glance, it would seem like a big nekama. At first glance, without thinking deep and knowing the level that Yosef and the Shvatim were, it would seem like a tremendous, powerful nekama. He chepered them, I say chepered in English, he antagonized them powerfully. They come to him, and he puts them 3 days into prison to start off with, and then he tells them the meraglim, tells them spies. Those days until today, to tell someone a spy is one of the worst sins a person can do. So he told them the old spies, he puts them into prison for 3 days, and even when he lets them free, he keeps Shimon behind. And he puts the money which they gave back into their bags, which gave them a tremendous shock later on. When they went home and they noticed the money is here, they realized something is odd, they're going to be punished for this too. And he's forcing them to bring Binyamin back. And then which was very, very hard for them and for Yaakov even more. And when Binyamin is here, he puts the cup, the becher, the silver becher into Binyamin's bag, which caused even more. What's he trying to do here? What is this? So again, at first glance, it looks like Nekama, but the Mefarshim say, not only does it not make sense, it's Nekama knowing Yosef's level and seeing what happened in the continuation of the story, but there's actually proof from the story itself, because it says in Parashat Vayigash, very interesting lesson, it says in Parashat Vayigash, Vayisapak Yosef. Yosef, a few times it says it, Yosef controlled himself and held back from revealing who he is. And the question is like this, it's an obvious question. If a person wants to make nekoma, and as the Sefer Shalom says, nekoma is sweeter from honey, nekoma is something which many people in this world unfortunately occupy their entire life with. But okay, nekoma. If a person has this feeling of revenge, so he's enjoying what he's doing, and he wants to do it. The moment he has to control himself and things become hard, so why is he doing it? So stop doing it. Not only that, the Medrash says, "Vayisapak Yosef was b'mesiras nefesh mamish." He literally had to, with tremendous force, control himself from revealing who he is. Well, if it's so hard, and if it's mamish comes to pikuach nefesh, as the Medrash says, so why do it? Just reveal yourself who you are. If all you try to do is nekama, well, as long as you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Once it gets too hard and it gets a life dangerous thing, so you know, just reveal yourself. What's the idea of that? So the Mefarshim will say, we see clearly, this wasn't a nekama, not at all. There is something much deeper, and obviously knowing the Madrega of Yosef, what one knows that it wasn't a nekama. And by the way, this is not by the way, but it's very important to knock this in the middle, that we do not find in Nigla, which means in the revealed parts of Torah, we do not find a punishment, not for Yosef, not for the Shvatim. People are going around and saying that the Malchus, Kinegda, Soro, Achim, it's all very nice, Apikavole, but if you open the Chumash and the Rashi and the Gemara and even the Medrash, there's no mention at all, nothing, a punishment not for the brothers for selling Yosef and not for Yosef for doing what he did.
That was
long before that.
It was
the selling the brothers that brought it into effect, but the decree was long before by Bris Mavsom. Forget, this caused it to go down a good way. The Gemara says it should have gone down chains, and because Yosef the king, he went down in honor. But I don't know, I've never heard this caused, that was, it wasn't Einish for that. In Nigli, you do not find any Einish. Forget, the Mepharshim say like this, for Yosef lost 10 years of his life, because the brothers, when they mentioned the father, they called him Avdechot, they didn't know it's Yosef, so they called him your servant, and he should have stopped them. 10 years, for each word, Avdechot, a year of his life off. A big punishment. But for the selling, nothing. For this, you find 10 years of his life. For the actual selling, nothing. No punishment mentioned. So, Avad al Pisoy, there is some punishment. We just mentioned before, the Vadatun says that the Golus was because of Mechiras Yosef. But that's. It shows us that in the basic level, much more than the basic level, in the Nigla and the revealed parts, there was no Avera there. And the tiny hidden Avera, something was there. Obviously, there's something there because it did. There are punishments we find, but in the Nigla parts of Torah, there's no punishment. Every child, every Yiddish child grows up knowing, and you ask children, were the brothers Tzadikim? For sure. Was Yosef a Tzadik? For sure. Did the brothers sell Yosef? Yeah, for sure. Everyone is right. You know this person who, Reuven and Shimon are arguing, and he tells Reuven, you're right, and he tells Shimon, you're also right, and someone goes up to him, you know, Reuven and Shimon are arguing, and I heard you told both the right. How can that be? Are you also right? Everyone is right. So, but the third.
They say, according to Rashi, he's got Rashba. According to Rashba, the brother did nothing. He lived from the Pesukim. The brother didn't actually sell Yosef. And they were responsible for his
sale. Yeah, but they did put him in a pit. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
they wanted to kill him. And the explanation this is, the explanation is that the intention of everybody here, whether the brothers who sold him, whether Yosef who shepherded them later when he finds them, when he sees them, the intention was fully, or kimat fully, 99.9% l'shem shemaim. L'shem shemaim. Rabbi Eliel Lapian in Lev Elio writes a nusach, and this is Rabbi Eliel Lapian writing, you know, he didn't exaggerate. He writes that even if we live 1,000 years and try and work out what exactly was the Avera there, we won't quite get there. It was such a thin dakmen, ad ein nivdak, he writes. If you look at the story, it was l'shem shemaim. If you think about it, if we would have done it, it would have been considered a tremendous mitzvah. Even for them, it's considered a mitzvah. There's a fascinating medrash in Parshas Nosei who says that what the brothers did, 99.9% of the intention here was a mitzvah. Now we have to discuss why. But they had the good intentions. Okay. And there was something, very often people do something, and they mean well, and the taka mean well, but there's also a bit of personal negius, of personal feeling in there, and a bit of But the main intention was good, and that's why we do not find a big punishment openly, and we consider them all tremendous tzaddikim. So what was the l'shem shemaim? That's what we want to get to. So let's first go back to Yosef. We discuss him meanwhile. Yosef, what was his intention when he shepherded the brothers and he did all these funny things to them which caused them such tzar?
Yosef, I understand. Go back to the brothers.
Yeah, we'll come back to that soon. Yeah, verses in Yosef, that leads back to Chanukah. And many Mephoshim say that Yosef's intention was to hurt them as a kapara. It's much better for a person to have a kapara in this world than Olam Haba, Olam Emes, and we cannot do that. We're not allowed to go up to, you know, hurt someone in order to cause him a kapara. Then, you know, we can't. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's job. But Yosef and his madrege was one of the Shiftei Kor, he could do that, and he was ra'uy to punish the brothers in this world and give them the kapora for selling him, which definitely was a bit of an avere. So that tiny bit of avere, he gave them a kapora by shepherding them Chofetz Chaim. So many mephoshim go on this mahalach. It's half the father. So that is taki a bit of a zenechnama. That he did get punished.
Yeah.
Yaakov also the Shlach Kodesh writes that he knew Yaakov deserves 22 years not to see Yosef. The Shlach Kodesh says it. That's why he didn't reveal himself. Okay, this is the father is a hard one. Let's go. Meanwhile, here. Svasemes says, now we understand what we asked beforehand. When Yosef meets when he reveals himself to the brothers, he cries on Binyamin's neck, and Rashi explains they're both crying in the Beis Hamikdash. And the question is, where does this? It's a very special thing to cry in the Beis Hamikdash, but why now? What's the connection? The answer is, if Yosef would have gone through with everything he planned to do, and he would have shepherded them a bit more like he planned to, just couldn't control himself, then the brothers would have had a full kapora on the Avera. The moment they have a full kapara, says the Balatum, there's no Chum Ves HaMikdash. Because the Chum Ves HaMikdash happened, the first cause, there's many more causes of Chum Ves HaMikdash, but the first cause of Chum Ves HaMikdash, the Balatum says, was because of the Mechias Yosef, because of selling Yosef. If there's a kapara on that Avera, if that Avera has gone away, if they've been mischaper by Yisurim on this, on that Avera, there's no Chum Ves HaMikdash. But Yosef couldn't control himself. As the Medrash says, he literally tired with Mesiras Nefesh. But there came a moment, as the Torah says, V'lo yuchal lisapak, he couldn't. You know, if the Torah says he couldn't, means he could not. We say we couldn't, maybe not. The Torah says he couldn't, he could not do it. So he had to stop early. He couldn't continue in his plan. They did not have a full kapara. Now Yosef realizes there will still be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Sinas Chinam has not been uprooted. The Sinas Chinam has not been uprooted fully. There will be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that's why he's crying at that moment on a Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because it's still going to happen. He didn't finish.
But you didn't deserve that.
Sorry?
You mean to say, but you didn't deserve that. You could,
but you were okay, you're adding more. Yeah. But Yom, he's talking about whole
crying. That's why he's crying.
But Yom is crying in Yosef also. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you're adding enough more. But Yom also. But even others, yeah. Okay. Coming back to the Medrash, or let's come back to the connection between Reuven and Chanukah, and then we'll come back to the Shvatim. If we see from all this that selling Yosef, which was a shtickl sinas chidam, caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the fact that he couldn't be mechaper that avera continued causing the Beis, that's why there will be a Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it comes out that saving Yosef should cause saving the Beis HaMikdash. Who saved Yosef? Reuven saved Yosef. Says the Medrash, Hadudoim nosnu reach. That's Reuven. Reuven with the flowers, he was the one who tried to save Yosef. Val pesachenu kol megodem, that is Chanukah. Where do we find in history saving the Beis HaMikdash? Where do we find the time where the Beis HaMikdash was partially getting destroyed and he got saved? That's Chanukah. Chanukah, the Yevonim would have for quite a long time, and they didn't let the Eden make the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says 52 years. The Yevonim caused troubles, he writes in the Geras Tehillim, the Rambam writes. So 50 years they couldn't make Kerbonis, and was a terrible zilzul in the Beis HaMikdash and avoid it, until the Chashem Noam came along and they fought back. And there was a new Chanukas, HaMizbeach, that's what's called Chanukah. So, a possible suggestion is that Reuven, by saving Yosef, in his chus, we had a Chanukah. Because his saving, taking away Mechias Yosef, caused saving the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Haboy reik ein boy mayim. The boy is empty, there's no water, but there is no choshem akrabim there. They didn't see that, it was 20 hours deep, they didn't see that, as the first would say. And then carries on the Gemara with Nei Chanukah, because, to put it in a poetic language, where was Chanukah born? In that pit, Chanukah was born. In that pit, when Yosef is trying to save, when Reuven is trying to save Yosef, that will eventually lead to the opposite of Churban Beis HaMikdash, to Chanukah. So there's a big connection between saving Yosef and Chanukah. Okay. Coming back to Mechias Yosef, and let's discuss that a little bit more. There's Fasam Ezrat, very interesting thing. Going back to the Pasuk, V'leyuchal Yosef Yisapak, Yosef couldn't control himself. And the Medrash says, he literally had to control himself in Siras Nefesh, which is not natural. It's not natural. If everyone's doing a comment, doesn't have to control himself. They'll do it. Rather, he wanted to do it for good reasons, for a kapara of a Klal Yisrael. Says Fasam like this. If Yosef would have finished, there wouldn't have been a Golus. That's what the Balatum says. You also have many information bring that. If Yosef would have finished doing what he wanted to do and caused a full kapara on that Avera, he would have uprooted Sinas Chinam, no Churban Beis HaMikdash. He didn't manage. So it's like this. We, the last 2,000 years, are trying to rectify the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're trying to get back to the Beis HaMikdash. What we don't manage in 2,000 years, Yosef and the Shvatim and the Ohm could have done. They did most of it. Most of the tikkun on Sinas Chinam they did. It's the last bit. V'leyuchal Yisapak, he couldn't control himself and continue with his deeper plan. And that last bit we're not managing 2,000 years. He gives us a bit of an insight, he says, on the greatness of the Shvatim. If they themselves could have finished the whole kapara, and they could have done what we can't do in 2,000 years, which shows us if it's the godless of the Shvatim. The Medrash writes that the Shvatim had no single Avera ever besides from Mechiras Yosef. Until the Medrash was a Shtik Lechede.
Yeah.
Definitely was. No single Avera chutz from Mechiras Yosef. The Manchester Shiva once went to Antwerp and he visited. There was a great in Antwerp called Rebitzikl. and visited him, and Rav Yitzchak told him, that the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech from Lezhensk, once asked, why is it that Motzi Yom Kippur, straight after Yom Kippur, we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we say Slachlonu, we just had Yom Kippur, not 5 minutes ago. So he says, Rabbi Elimelech made a cheshbon, that by the time he came to Slachlonu, he had 400 averes. At 400 averes. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, halavai, our tkiyas shofar would be on the level of Rabbi Elimelech's averes. I think Rav Horowitz from here says that he met a Yid once who told him he's not sure where to travel. He wants to go to some great Yid for a Shonim Kippur. He's not sure where to go. So I was asked, where did you go last year? Last year I went to the Satmar of Rav Yoilish. So why didn't you go again? He said, no, look, he cried so much in his averes, such terrible bechias. I prefer to go to a Rebbe who never had any averes beforehand. So we have to take the averes of the previous generation account, and on that the Medrash says, when the Medrash is talking about the Shvatim, it means those averes. And on those averes, the Medrash says the Shvatim had no avera whatsoever besides one, Michias Yosef. Nothing whatsoever, no 400 and no nothing. And these are the Shvatim we're talking about. They could have indeed brought about what we are still trying to do all these years. Let's go to the Shvatim for a few minutes. What was their intention? We discussed what Yosef's intention was in Mitzrayim. There's more reasons for Yosef, by the way. For the Chalom, there's much more to talk about. Mentioning one of them. Going back to the Shvatim, what was their intention when they actually attacked and sold Yosef? Many Mefarshim go on the same path, each in his language, but the idea is the same. That there is something called the Roidev. And it goes like this. The Shvatim looked back a bit and they saw Avraham Avinu had two children, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael was sent aside and Yitzchak is the one who continues the path. Yitzchak had two children, Yaakov and Esav. Esav was set aside, and Yaakov continues the path to the future Kal Yisrael. They were scared that the same might happen to Yaakov. That he would choose one son to continue the path and all the others would be left out. And they had many, many proofs in their understanding to prove that. They had many reasons to think that Yosef is the one who is trying, not Yaakov is choosing him, Yosef is pushing his way in to try and get Yaakov, that Yosef should be the continuation, and Yaakov should set aside the other brothers and only choose Yosef. One of the proofs was, Yaakov was Mekarev very much, well, it started with Yaakov being Mekarev Yosef very much. Yeah, sorry, it started with Yaakov, and Yaakov taught him all his Torah, he learned with Shem Ever. Yosef looked like Yaakov, already started with that. But now Yosef is pushing his way in, he's coming along with dreams, and he's saying, I'm the ruler, I'm the king, you all bow down to me. And you're all under me. What's that if not that he wants to be the one to be chosen? And then he goes to his father and says, Lashon Hara, the brothers are no good. They're doing this, they're doing that, doing the other. And he's saying, Lashon Hara about us. So he's trying to literally push us aside. He should be the continuation. The Gemara says that, the Gemara says Yosef should have had 12 Shvatim. And in fact, he didn't have 12, but he had two. He's the only one of the brothers who had Shvatim continuing out of him. The brothers, they were Shvatim, their children were already the Klal Yisrael. But Yosef was the one who produced two Shvatim. Yeah, the Rechaim HaKadosh writes that Yosef is not a Shevet. Yosef is in between the Oves and the Shvatim. On a higher level than the Shvatim, is between, is Mamutza. So there are many reasons why they thought that Yosef potentially could get it, and he's trying to push his way in. And he's not quite what he seems to, what he proclaims to be. Look, he's saying Lashon Hara, and Mesalzel Besara, Rashi says. So they were quite very scared of this. And just like there's something called a Roidev in Gashmis, if someone chases someone else who wants to kill him, so one can eliminate the Roidev. That's the halacha, you have to go to Bez and all that, just eliminate the Roidev. No, for killing.
No, but he's Roidev the other person.
For killing.
For money.
Oh, no reason why, no difference why.
No difference why,
yeah. If someone, whoever it's here, not in the right way. So too is in Ruchnis. If they felt that Yosef is Roidev in Ruchnis, he wants to push them out of Klal Yisrael and they won't be part of this holy nation, they felt a tremendous redeemer in Ruchnis. He wants to eliminate us in Ruchnis so they could get rid of him. And that explains why they were a bit changing their mind. First they decided to kill him. Then they said, no, let's not kill him, let's put him in the pit. And then they said, you know, let's sell him. What's going on here? All this or that or the other. So the Mefarshim write, because there's an interesting halacha baroidef. Baroidef, we find, you have to get rid of him in the smallest way, meaning if you can eliminate the trouble by just wounding him, then you can't kill him.
Yeah.
You have to just wound him. So they first thought, okay, nothing to do, we have to get rid of Yosef fully. Then they said, you know what, we might be able to get our way with just putting him in the pit, which is again killing him, but indirectly. Then they said, you know, we don't even have to kill him. He can stay alive, send him to Mitzrayim, no one ever came out of there, finish with him, and we don't have to kill him. Because this was a halach of Roidev, they could change their mind like that. But it does throw a new light that onto the old story. This wasn't a wild selling, this was a psak bezdim. They were the greatest people in the world. Exactly. They were the Dayanim. And sorry? Oh, and that's why many of us will say, the Pasuk tells us a very interesting thing. Yeah. After selling Yosef, they sat down to eat bread. I was supposed to eat that bread every day of their life. This is the only time it says it. What's going on? What was special about this bread? There's nothing here the third time to tell us of this. And many of us will say, the Chavetz Chaim writes, because a bezdim who is passing a din of Foshes have to fast that day. Such a severe, serious thing. They have to fast. So they fasted that day. After the psak day, now they can sit down to eat. They haven't eaten anything yet. Which shows us again, it was a din Torah, it was a psak din.
Which I don't understand is, once they took him out of the pit, then the pit was not shown by Kavim Yeshboi, so he could have been killed by
Kavim.
If they saw he survived,
Let me catch that. So some of us will say that it was 20 arms deep, like the Gemara Shabbos says, Baruch Hanukkah, that's what it's together. You couldn't see. Like you can't see him later. You couldn't see. They put the rope down, couldn't see down.
I know, but
they
took him out afterwards.
Yeah, but they didn't know this. They didn't know that. They didn't know that. But the Chacham is not upset. Yeah, it's a kash. The Chacham is not upset. So this sheds a new light on why they sold him. Let's go one step further. There's so much to say about this. We have to pick and choose. One step further. So why did Yosef Taki say the dreams? We know at the end of the story, they were all right. The Shvatim meant it tremendously, L'shem Shemaim, like we saw. There was a drop of sinas chenem evolved. The Pasuk says, so Vayisnu Oysoi, Balatum says that's why there's a golis. But it's a very, very small, deep level, I mean a very, very hidden level. Very often, it could be even they didn't realize that. Very often a person does things and is convinced he's doing it for the right reason. We all have such stories. And we often, the outsiders can see, well, it's also simple that it's fully Shem Shemaim. The person is convinced about it and he thinks it's true. So that's what happened here. They meant Shem Shemaim. There was a tiny bit of Sinas Chinem here. Let's go a stage back. So why did Yosef, if the brothers meant well, and Yosef meant well, like we see, he meant well, he made a kapor at the end, he was very kind to them at the end. So why Taki did he say, he lashon hara to his brother, to his father? So the Chavetz Chaim already said, he meant it well. He wanted to, lashon hara to Eli, his mother. Why did he say the dreams? Why didn't he realize that saying the dreams would cause trouble? Didn't he feel, you know, the way the wind is blowing? So the Rishonim al HaTorah write that those weren't simple dreams, those were nevuas. And a Kovish Nuvos is Chav Misef. The Rosh HaTorah, he was Moshe Nefesh, he knew he was causing himself trouble. He was Moshe Nefesh to say the dreams, even though it caused him trouble. There's so much under the surface of these psukim. You know, we can learn the parasha simple. He said Lashnar, and they sold him, and then he shepherded them. And a bit deeper, there's so much going on under the surface. One last point, then we'll go back to Chanukah. One last point. The Chasam Sofer says like this. Yaakov sends Yosef, at the beginning of the story, go to Shrem, that's where your brothers are, find out how they're doing. He went to Shrem, they're not there. Where are they? Find someone tells him they went to Doison. 1 minute. If Yaakov sends him to Shrem, that means usually they went to Shrem. Yaakov knew, you know, he told him go to Shrem. He said, maybe. Go to Shrem, that's where they are. So why weren't they there?
Why they move?
So the Chasam Sofer says, because they knew that they got something against Yosef. And they knew that maybe we're not fully right. They had worked themselves out, and they fasted that day, and they made a din Torah, and they paskened his roidif. But who knows what? Maybe we got a bit of hatred too. Maybe there's a tiny bit of jealousy here. Says the Chasam Sofer, they knew that if he would come to them, they knew the father might send him to find out how they're doing, and if he would come to them, then the old hatred would wake up again, and they might be clouded, the vision might be clouded. So they decided, we're going to move ourselves from here. We don't want to fall into the Nesoin of we're not 100% sure yet what's the right thing to do with him. We think he's a roidif, but who knows? So they moved away from there. They weren't there. Says the Chassid Sofer, they told no one where they went to. Who told Yosef where they've gone to? The Malach. When they went those summon from the father, see Yosef coming, they said, Rabbeinu Shalom, how is he coming? How does he know where we are? No one knows where we went to. So they felt this is a simon min hashamayim that they have to sell him.
The other way around.
They thought no greater proof that Kodesh Baruch is running things, he's leading him into our hands, we have to sell him. And they were so great that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded from them not to forfeit, that it wasn't a sign for them. But they decided this is, you know, with all the previous decisions that he's a roidif, and this last final thing that he comes, you know, falls into our hands over here, that's what they decided to sell him. There are many such things which fall into place once one knows there's a lot of Shem Shemayim going on behind the surface. But let's go back to Chanukah. We started off the connection between Mechiras Yosef and Chanukah. Mechiras Yosef caused the Golis, and maybe saving Yosef that brought about Chanukah, which was the opposite of the Chum Beis Hamikdash. I think what this teaches us is, one of the points this whole thing teaches us is, the far-reaching effects of a person's action. But we're talking about great people, but the idea is the same altogether for everybody. The far-reaching effects of the brothers selling Yosef caused the Golis. Reuven trying to save Yosef caused the Chanukah. And everything has a very far-reaching effect. The Mefarshim write that Chanukah, the Yontif of Chanukah, has a unique thing which no other Yontif has. Chanukah, everything about it is really, how to say this exactly in the right wording, is quite the opposite of a good time. Let me give you the example. Chanukah is the end of the month. Chof Hei Kislev is today, the end of the month, which usually, you know, people make chasna the first half of the month often. Chanukah, we light the menorah in the dark by night, which usually we know most of the mitzvahs by day, which is a simon on greatness, on godless, the light, not in the night time. Most mitzvahs are by day, this is a mitzvah by night. Chanukah, we light the menorah lechatchila under 10, unless you got pirsum and issa, but the ideal place is under 10 tfochim, which we know usually under 10 is considered the mokim tumim, most mitzvahs are done above 10. Chanukah, we light on the street. Those days, that's so, and those days they lit on the streets, which again, Yiddish house is a mokum kedusha, mokum shchina. Chanukah, we do everything the opposite. By night, end of the month, outside, in the darkness, And the idea is that this little bit of light, this little bit of fire, which always symbolizes the neshama, the kedusha, the bren, the doing the mitzvahs with a heart, with a fire, that little bit of light, that little candle, can push away all those darknesses, can push away the darkness and the outside and the street and the tumah and the end of the month, he can push it all away. I'm allowed to do something. I hope the fire alarm here doesn't work too. I want to show you something very interesting. I hope it won't cause trouble. This. I heard this from Rabbi Whitley once. He says that there's a. Can I light a match in here?
Yeah.
Should be okay. He says like this. Interesting thing. Sorry? He says like this. This comes from one of the greatest Mekubalim, Rabbi Yosef Gikitalia. He says that if you light a candle, I'll go back a bit. Yeah, back a little bit. If you light a candle, if you light a candle, which is what we do in Chanukah, and then you blow it out, and you put a flame a bit above it. So something fascinating will happen. Let's give it a second.
Catches.
Yeah, it goes back down. Give it a bit longer. It will make the number.
It
says like this. He says that if you put a flame even 10 centimeters above it, it will get something worth trying. Not children, I wouldn't show this to children, but okay.
When the smoke's still coming out, you put anywhere in the smoke,
it'll go back down. So Rabbi Yosef Gigitalia, one of the guests of God, a few hundred years ago, says that a mitzvah is called a neir. Kineir mitzvah v'teira oir. The Chanukah lecht, which is a flame, Sorry, the neshama is also called a neir. Neir Hashem nishmas adam. The neshama v'yid is called a neir. The mitzvah of Chanukah, the flame of Chanukah, has the power to, like a flame, to light another flame on a distance, even from a distance. Yeah? If I wait longer, I'm a bit scared of this. If you leave this burning another few seconds, even if you put a match up here, it will catch down to here. It will go down. I can't explain it scientifically.
It must be smoke.
Yeah, but the smoke doesn't cause fire. I don't know how that works. However, that works. So he says that the Chanukah, the mitzvah of Chanukah, has the power to ignite the neshama, which is also a flame, even from a distance. The person is connected to it, the person does the mitzvah because he wants to do a mitzvah properly, then it will ignite his neshama on the inside. Because this is the power of Chanukah. The power of Chanukah is that a person does a mitzvah, it pushes away all the darkness, even the night and the outside, the end of the month and the street, it has the power to push it all away. Obviously, there has to be some heat in the candle. Which means if the neshama is the candle and the match is the mitzvah, the Chanukah, there has to be some heat in the candle. A person has to want to connect to that and want to get this chizuk out of the onto of Chanukah. And then the Chanukah have a tremendous power of pushing away a huge amount of darkness. There's another point in Chanukah which is very connected. The Chazal tell us that the main tafkid of Chanukah, the main avodah of Chanukah, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, is Lehalel ulehoidos. Chazal we kevea Chanukah, the yontav of Chanukah is to give thanks, in very simple language, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He does to us. The Mefarshim writes that Halel, what we say by davening, Halel on Chanukah, is much more important than the regular Halel of yontav. It's much more important than the regular Halel of yontav, because that is the essence of Chanukah. The essence of Chanukah is, and that's the idea of lighting the candles also, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim. Every Yontif has his tafkid. Pesach is Emunah, and Sukkot is Simcha, and Shavuot is Torah, and Yom HaDin is Yom HaDin, and even Purim is Emunah, and Simcha. Chanukah, the Yontif, is to realize Hashem's goodness in everything. To be Lehoidos, or Lehalel, even in Golis, even in darkness, which was what happened then. They were in the darkness, in the Golis of Yovan, and most of Kali Yisrael hadn't done the right thing. Most of Kali Yisrael had gone off. The books, the song who describe a bit the history then, most of Kali Yisrael had gone off. And it's those few Yidden who got the power to push away all the darkness, like the Chanukah pushed away all the darkness. And for that alone is a reason to be Moedah Mahalil, that we have these mitzvahs, we have this tremendous power of a flame which can ignite the neshama. That alone is a reason to be Moedah Mahalil. But there were Yidden who were Moedah, who chose Chanukah, by Moedim, that chose every day something within their personal life to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically for. Moedim, we thank for everything. But in order to be Mechazik, this Avod of Hodes Lalil, they chose something specific to be Moedim, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Moedim. The Chokh Moshlem Ratz Shulchan Aruch, there was a Yid, a prisoner, who got permission to leave prison once in Chanukah. He could choose whether to leave for davening or for Chanukah Lech in the evening. Chokh Moshlem says he should leave to daven in the morning, to daven Halel B'tzibur. He can daven Halel in prison. No, but Halel B'tzibur on Chanukah is very, very powerful, because that's just what the Yontif is all about. The Hodes LeHalel, Reb Chaim Knievsky writes, HaNeres HaLolu. It's fascinating to me, Reb Chaim Knievsky says such a thing. Not typical. He says, HaNeres HaLolu Kodeshem. Al Pidiktuk, it should be HaNeres HaElu. Really, why HaLolu?
It should be Kodeshem.
Ah. Okay, Lachazach. So he says, you know why we say Halolu, Halel? Again, to hint to this Halel. The Chanukah and the davening. Chanukah is all about Halel, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all He does for us. That's one of the answers why we have Moisev V'Hoylech. We add, every day we add it. Tonight we're going to light two candles. The nest didn't become greater. Why do we add another candle? The nest was the same. It was 8 days, a nest. But the same nest didn't become greater. Well, the power of the nest became great, but the candle burnt the same for 8 days in the Beis Hamikdash. Why do we add each day? Because Chanukah is Balhoitis and Halal, the person has to add. Keep on finding new things to thank for. Thank again, and thank for new things. More powerful. And these two things go very much together. We mentioned before the power of Chanukah pushing away all the darkness, and the Lahodis and Halal, because the greatest thing we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is that we can do so much for eternal life. This world is one thing, but we can do so much with so many small things. The person adds a little bit Kavanah Davening, a bit more learning, a bit little candle can ignite the Neshama in a tremendous way. For that alone, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tremendous Lahodis and Halal. And we should be Zoyche to all the Ashpos of this Yontev until we finally get back the big Beis Hamikdash and light the menorah. There because
maybe him for that. I heard him just last night. The first night, why did he say hello? It was only one night.